Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we marvel at your grace and goodness and thank you for it. And also we marvel, Lord, at your presence. And then we marvel, too, that we do not actually marvel enough, Lord, because we are not as sincere as we ought to be in this hour. We pray, Father, we shall be very considerate of your word and place our thoughts and our understanding according to that which has been revealed in this last day as vindicated truth, that we may not err from it, but accept it, knowing there is a much higher authority than ourselves, and though all men would come together and to decide what that word is, they are absolutely incapable of doing it outside of some vindicated revelation, Lord. We know this to be true. We ask you, therefore, to help us to stand in that place where you have placed the prophets in the word and also placed us, we believe, by divine foreknowledge and election and predestination. Grant here our power, Lord, to help us in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, what we're going to do this morning is simply sort of recap some things we went into in question and answers. And I'm not satisfied that I, you know, maybe did a full enough job in order to acquaint you with what is actually extant in this hour, because perhaps overlooking some things that we might have gone into. Now, one of the questions that came from a young man was the question, you know, concerning that quote that Brother Branham used in the book of Philippians, where it is God in you willing and doing of his own good pleasure. And Brother Branham mentioned the fact that he must work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And he didn't finish the quote from 12 to 13, which was, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Paul had said here, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not only as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And, of course, Brother Branham was referring to the fact of the foregoing dream that he talked about and the scripture that he applied to it concerning Sister Shepherd. Now, let's just talk about this factor of Brother Branham using 2 Peter, the first chapter, although I think was erroneously put down as 1 Peter, which is not, it's 2 Peter, the first chapter. And Brother Branham used this particular portion of Scripture where he says in the third verse, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. And of course, the word in there could be either, for power could be either dunamis or exousia, which simply means the actual power, and the other word meaning authority. But usually, whether one or the other is used, it's almost always one contains the thought of the other, because you could never use the dunamis of God without the authoritative power of God, the authority of God, or you would end up, everyone would end up in the seventh chapter of Matthew, where they come and they say, have we not prophesied in thy name cast out devils, healed the sick, raised the dead, done many wonderful things, and he'd say, depart from you, me, I never knew you. So when anyone ever thinks of the power of God in operation in his light, he must be very careful that that power is operated according to the word of the living God. Now that, of course, goes right back to the time of Satan when he was leading in the worship of God with Michael. And at that time, of course, Christ was embodied in Michael and was leading in the worship too, where you had, of course, one son by creation and one son by actual begetting, which was Jesus himself. This day have I begotten thee, or in thee have I begun my generations, where God brings forth his sons. And you'll notice in there that Satan literally used the power of God to a destructive end, which was against the authority and mind of God. And he dragged down with him perhaps hundreds and hundreds of thousands of angels And it is said that one third of them actually fell. Then you see the same thing in the Garden of Eden, where Satan used the serpent, who had a mind. He was able to reason, able to talk. And he was a very large person, actually a giant. He was not a human being. As Brother Branham said, he had a place for a soul, but did not have a soul. Now, Brother Branham went along with the theologians on that animals and beasts do not have souls. But if you carefully look into the Hebrew, you will find in there that that is not exactly the truth. They do have souls. It's referred to one place, actually, I think it's in Proverbs, it does refer to it. But Brother Branham made a little statement that most people never heard or ignore completely, and that is an inner soul where that gene is. Now, there's no such thing as an animal having an inner soul where that gene is. In other words, that little spot in there. And so, when he's speaking concerning the beast did not have a soul, I simply take it to mean he certainly did not have a soul, as we understand soul, in the highest order, which is man. Like Brother Branham said, people came over here and they killed the Indians. They were very despicable in their treatment, which we know to be true. And then we've got to send message to Africa or say, hey, you're doing wrong. Whew. You talk about the pot, you know, calling the kettle black. Talk about sheer hypocrisy. You'll never get any greater hypocrites than in America. And they're all over the world, because let's face it, the Americans only came from the Europeans mostly. Few Asiatics, but not too many. Anyway, the thought we're looking at is that the white man said the Indian has no soul, until one day they found them weeping. And they said, well, they've got a soul. Isn't that marvelous? Then you wonder why I rip and snort about theology outside of anything which is vindicated. What do I have to do with that junk? Merciful God, I got enough problems now without showing myself a complete fool when it comes to spiritual things. Remember, the whole world lieth in the lap of the wicked one. And that doesn't say the church is exempted, because the false vine is of Satan. So anyway, we go back and we're looking at Scripture here. We see here man has that inner gene, and he must work according to the authority or the God-given permit, so that you can use any power of God in the right way. Otherwise, you could take the power of God and use it illegally, anti-scriptural, outside the framework of God, and then it would be very, very bad. Now you say, just a minute, how can that happen? Well, listen, don't you know that God created all things? And all power and authority is of God? There is no such thing as a lie of itself. A lie can only be the truth perverted. There can only be an unrighteous act of adultery on the grounds there is a true act, which is a righteous act, which is sexual intercourse within a monogamy and a marriage that God has ordained. And so all power is of God. And what you do with that is what comes for you or against you. And only the word of the living God that has been truly revealed will show us how to use the true power and authority of God. See, that's why Pentecost is all wrong. Talk in tongues, do what they want, say what they want to do. They end up in multiple marriages, they end up in adultery, until I told you a while ago the facts and the figures concerning the so-called truly fundamental believer. When it comes to illicit sex amongst teenagers, the percentage is the same as though they're out in the world in the hog trot. What led to it? Ignoring the word of God, which was vindicated to them, the same as it was in the days of Cain and Abel. It was vindicated that Abel had the true revelation, and positively showed that Cain did not have the true revelation, though he had a proper sacrifice, because the Bible said Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And therefore, if Abel's offering was more excellent, then Cain's was excellent. And this was the unrighteous or the evil deed that led Cain to killing his brother. So I thought the unrighteous deed was one he didn't offer the blood. You're completely wrong. Sure, that's what he should have offered. But you don't understand. One person had a revelation, the other didn't have a revelation, because one offered the blood, the sacrifice, the other offered a first fruit. And the first fruit said, well, I'm okay, I'm fine. That's why Brother Branham could say very, very truly, he said, Cain offered a beautiful sacrifice, and he ignored the fact that he was born a serpent seed. He ignored the fact it was adultery in the garden that did it. And the Bible distinctly said he was of that wicked one. What do you mean? If this man's of God, and he's got the gene of God, then this man is the wicked one, and then he's got the gene of the wicked one. Now, what would that gene be? It would be a perfectly legitimate thing that has been used wrong. Never forget the devil doesn't even have a word of his own. All he's got is God's word to pervert. You show me one thing you or anybody else has that isn't here already. What are you going to do with it? You follow me? Okay. We're moving. Don't worry. Now, Brother Branham talking here. He hath called us unto the life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us. Now look, you know as well as I do that the Holy Spirit was given to us to teach us. And so therefore, if we have the Holy Spirit, we will be taught the same thing. We may receive truth at different levels, but it will be the same truth basically. What I'm saying is one may have a deeper understanding, far more illustrations, far more scripture he gathers into it, but it doesn't make any difference. The point is the revelation is the same, so we're looking at that now. And you know at the end time, according to the book of Ephesians, the Spirit. Now let's read it so we get it exactly right. Because I could blow this one by misquoting it. That's verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now these folk are full of the Holy Ghost. They've been sealed unto the day of redemption. That means they have got what it takes to get them out of the ground and give them a glorified body. They have it. They are citizens of the New Jerusalem. They are recipients of the ultimate of Almighty God. They are the manifested children of whom Jesus is the only begotten one of a kind that is their brother in the family of God. Now he says here, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. Now notice that. It doesn't say love unto Jesus Christ. It says faith in Jesus Christ and love to the saints. As Brother Branham said, you can only love God as you love his people. And you can only serve God as you serve his people. So there you get where he took it from. Cease not to give thanks, you making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now he tells you that. Now these people already have the Holy Ghost, but they need the Spirit to come. The Ephesian church needs it to come. And when it does come, it's going to be the complete revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of Almighty God, which is Revelation chapter 1 and on and on. He and the church. Now, notice what's going to happen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what, now watch, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So what they had back here, in the baptism with the Holy Ghost in the first age, which was the truly revealed word of Almighty God, a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the true authority of God in them, because they understood the things of God, gave them the right to enter into the resurrection. But it tells you here is when they get it. Yes. The same God who gives his life seal upon the individual to assure him that he will rise in the resurrection, that same Almighty God comes back in his fullness at the end time to raise the dead. But before he raises the dead, there is a knowledge imparted to the people that must be requisite. You say, well, Brother Bill, I wonder why. Why can't you just shut up and listen to God for a change? If I've got $1 million, are you going to come and tell Lee Dale how to spend it? Oh, Brother Bill. Oh, Ted, that's Ben. Oh, I know. You want me to spend it on you. Out of my way, cousin. It's my $1 million, and I'll spend it how I want to spend it. Now, you understand that.
Nothing to old brother Baal if I was in your boots and had a million, which if you're my boots, you won't have a million. But if I had a million and you were in my boots, you had it, you say, hold it, hold it, hold it. I think I know how I got it, and I think I knows how I was going to spend it. Why can't we do that with God? Come on, why can't we? Isn't he do that much? All right, at the end time, this spirit comes into our midst just before the resurrection. The same thing he wrought in Jesus when he raised him from the dead and put him right up there is going to do the same thing for us. Okay, let's go back now to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Now, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. Now this comes by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And to your knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness love. Now you notice there's eight in there. Because love is the last one. Remember, God is love. So, you're looking at an end time manifestation. Seven church ages. Brother Branham brought it to our attention. Seven church ages have one manifestation each that corresponds to a Christian coming to his maturity in every age, wherein he has the seven virtues that he recognized are born in him. And because they are there, he looks to the Christ or the God within him, the Holy Spirit, that is given alongside to help him, the Paraclete, which is the one given to you, to make sure you have the power and the knowledge whereby you can live in the presence of God, with the presence of God, and manifest that same presence. Now, that's a high order, but it's in here. Our trouble is we function and do a little bit at a time. We don't get our act all together. Let's face it. There are times when you have a perfect revelation by faith. There are times when the virtue is there. We've seen them healed right in their seat sitting here. Like Jack Bell just phoned me the other day. I phoned him and he told me there was a certain brother that had he felt very bad internally. He knew something was wrong with him. And he went to the doctor. The doctor said, well, he said, I'm sorry, the x-rays and all show that you have a very bad problem in your colon here. It's evidently it's cancer. And so they went to, he said, well, I better go in and we'll have to have an operation. So they took him in and they ran the scope down and the doctor was amazed. Well, he said, this is strange. He said, the place is there where it was, but it ain't there what was there. What had happened? They prayed over a handkerchief, gave it to the guy, put it on himself, the man's healed. Led him out of the hospital feeling great. Every place you turn, there is a testimony to the goodness of Almighty God in healing. That's why, as I say, as we pray for this sister, I believe the Lord's going to take care of her. I just feel in my heart that she's going to be fine as a testimony to the people. Because I'm sure many, many people are saying, well, I know why she's dying of cancer. That's because we're sure her husband was into some sin. I got news for you. Why should God hurt her if he's bad? Wasn't it enough that he took his own son's life for us? You know, people just, man, I don't know. I figure I'm a low man on the totem pole, but there's sometimes I wonder where in the world the rest are. I'm going to bother looking. Now, what you're seeing here then, as I said, you have the virtue, you have the temperance, you have the patience, you have the godliness, you have the brotherly kindness. And then at what Brother Branham said, what comes in is the capstone where the God of love or the God who is love. Now remember, God is in threes. Omniscience, omnipotence. Omnipotence without omniscience could go haywire, could go wild, could be destructive, could be the devil. Now, if you look at omniscience then, and you combine it, and you look at this fact of being omniscient, then you can figure anything out in the world, but if you don't have the power to bring it to pass, what good is your omniscience? Now, there's got to be a third thing, though. And the third thing tempers them both to make sure they are both perfectly in harmony, so that your omniscience and your omnipotence is in the direction of truth and those things that are marvelous. That's why God is love. So therefore, if the essentiality of the nature of God is love, and He's omnipotent, omniscient, you can rest assured, no matter what happens, no matter what we see, this God is going to see us through. Begin to change your minds to the truth. Now here is where we're sealed in, and our lives are completely ordered by the Holy Ghost, where Brother Branham said, and based on Paul, I must work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. You must do it, because it's God in you willing and doing. It's both of those things. So what it is, the people must realize that their impulse and toward good and the things that they would do that would be right and good, check yourself right away with the Word of God. See? And as we begin to do it, the faith and all of these things combined, where we can definitely walk in the light as He is in the light, having fellowship with Him and the blood cleansing, and we being really sealed up, truly full of the Holy Spirit, can go ahead. But you see, in these days, people have not taken that attitude. What the result of attitude is simply, well, and as Brother Branham said, it's true, we backslide 1,000 times a day. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have an intercessor. So the whole thing is over. Well, everybody falls. A righteous man falls 7 times. The Lord was able to bear him up. And who art thou, a man, to judge a man that serve not his own master? Stand at the fall. We can quote all these things and vindicate and justify ourselves. But there is a thread in the Word of God that says positively we can be truly sealed in and live this godly life. Absolutely. Now, he took Sister Shepherd's dream. She told him the dream. And in this dream, she was wondering, before she had the dream, she wondered if she was full of the Holy Ghost. And she just wondered if she could possibly be. And she didn't know. She paced the floor. Finally, she lay down Sunday afternoon, I think it was. Oh, what he called a duofold or a couch. And there she went to sleep, and in this dream she saw a mountain, and there's a man on the mountain dressed in white, I believe, and he's a big muscular guy, and he was pouring in water into a box that looked like it was made out of rock. But you know that you can't mortise rock too good. You can, you know, cement it and all, but and if you pour water, it doesn't swell like wood does. So it just couldn't hold the water. And as the water came down the hill, she noticed that it was just churning up all the chaff and everything as though it had a turbulent effect. A powerful effect, churning all the dirt and things up. You know how it is when water pours down a hill, little chips of wood and leaves and bits of dirt and all those things that aren't stuck together, stuck to the ground permanently, or at least in a good measure, strong enough. It just churns it up. And she was down there where the water could have reached her feet. She was barefooted, but it expended itself before it ever got there. It didn't do the job of getting to her. In other words, where I am truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit truly in my life? Am I the person I should be? Well, you know, you're not going to be perfect, but you aim at it. Well, anyway, pretty soon, the man picks up a great big jar of honey, a bucket of honey, and he pours it in, Previous to this, he said, I'm pouring the Holy Ghost. The water was the Holy Ghost being poured in, and it wasn't working. Now he pours in this great big bucket of honey, and he said, this will make it stick. Now, as it made it stick, what happened in the dream was, the water then split into 5 complete divisions, which Brother Branham said signifies grace. And as it came down off the mountain, there was no more stirring up of the sticks and all the things in there that were bad. It cleared the whole thing out, cleared the whole mess up, and the water poured over her feet. Now, you know as well as I do, you get the Ezekiel's vision. You got the waters to the ankles, the waters to the knees, the waters to the thighs, waters to swim in, waters to carry you across. Fine. All right, she was in this condition then. Evidently, the waters to the ankles, which you go back to the time of Luther's justification. That was the baptism with the Holy Ghost, signifying that, as I believe, now Brother Branham didn't say this, is my own understanding as I look at the pictures he talked about it, that this could well be then the figure that she was literally then, as the water coming over her feet, She was a person that had the word for her hour, just the same as Luther did, Wesley did, the Pentecostals, but they all stood back, they organized and said, this is it. They couldn't wait for more. All right, Brother Branham, talking about this, says, the very thing I was talking about, how you come up to the fullness in Christ, knowing you're really truly baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, he said, all right, the first age had faith. Absolutely had faith, which was the true revelation of the Word of God, which Paul and Jesus himself said the church is built upon the true revelation, and Paul showed that he had the true revelation for the Gentile church, and he said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, how in the world could Jesus Christ the righteous be a foundation, and that's all there is to it? It couldn't be, or you wouldn't need a word. And he is the Word. So therefore, Paul preaching the gospel and setting him forth by vindicated word proved that this indeed was literally Christ. And the power of God, Brother Branham said so truly, the conduit of the Holy Spirit is the Word. You know that as well as I do. And the conduit of the Word is the individual. If you don't have an absolute vindicated word, the true word revealed from the Word of Almighty God, from God Himself, there is no way that you can claim you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. There isn't any way at all. Now, there's a virtue that goes with all these things. And the first age, of course, was that wonderful revelation. Now, the second age had, of course, virtue. And Brother Branham translated that as dunamis, as virtue went out of Christ to heal the wound. There's going to be scholars that disagree with that, but I listened to the prophet. And if that's where it is, that's where it belongs, because he's vindicated. To that come knowledge. To knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, and patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. Now, there are your seven ages, and that's exactly what we see sealed up in a bride, and every individual, all of these things, and can they be exercised all at one time. In other words, you come to the place where that really is in you. Then God himself has literally taken over. Now, you see, how many people get literally taken over? Not too many. See, that's why it's good that you've got you've got Christ standing there as the intercessor and the blood. Now, a certain brother I heard the other day preach and say something about the blood was no longer in existence. It didn't apply. There was no time when the blood did not apply, and there's no time in this message when the blood does not apply, because Brother Branham himself, and I want you to quote him all you want, go to the book of Hebrews and you'll fall flat in your face and cut your throat. There was a vision given to Brother Branham in Toledo, Ohio, right in this state here, when he was criticizing a woman that he didn't know had been a child of God and had slipped into sin and ignominy and shame. And he's criticizing her deeply. When his vision, he saw the earth begin to turn in a circle of blood around it. And the voice said, William Branham, except for that circle of blood, you'd be dead. Why are you criticizing her? So don't talk to me about you knowing your Brother Branham said, unless you really know what he said. Let's not talk about visions or anything else until we know what the truth is. The actual truth is, my brother, my sister, if it weren't for that blood, no life would have come back upon us. It was that life that made the blood out of the chemicals that are here. And don't try to get the word chemistry. The word is chemicals. Brother Branham said the chemistry of the blood, that would let you know certain things that apply within the blood itself. But we're talking literally of the chemicals which made it up. And he said that blood fell upon the ground and went back to the elements. Remember, that life came forth, but the blood was efficacious to let the life come forth. And if that blood was not efficacious today, there wouldn't be one person full of the Holy Ghost. So, all right, we have this here. Now, we come to the place where the seventh age has brotherly kindness. Okay, what is brotherly kindness? Brother Branham told you, brotherly kindness is not brotherly love. It's where you come to the place where you're very sticky. You've got fish hooks on your elbows. And you have a lot of differences. But at the same time, he said, two brothers should be able to argue bitterly about the word of God, but depart as loving brethren. What would it be if I argued bitterly with you and to depart as a loving brother? It would simply mean that I extended every courtesy to you in the Word of God, and I stuck to that Word of God. I simply stayed with the Word of God. Then I treated you commensurate with that same Word of God. But it doesn't mean my mind has changed. I've got to sweep the dirt under the rug and agree with you. In other words, love is found in the Word, and in no other place is it truly defined. And no other place can you get it as to its true manifestation. Say, all right. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, he said, you're pretty sticky. And you have your differences, you're disagreeable. But he said, if that one brother was really in great danger or sick or something, right away you think, oh my heavens, I had communion with that man. I washed feet with that man. What am I doing here holding my grudge? And you go and you try to help the person. Now, it's not the easiest thing in the world. You know why? Because though God forgets, we don't. If we could forgive and then forget, it'd be great. But most people, naturally, are honest and they say, look, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Now, the truth of the matter is, to understand love means that you're going to forget it. You say, Brother Bill, I can't wash it out. The point is, fine. But do you have feelings about it where you want to get back at the guy or the gal? Or is it just a matter that you continue to use your brains and know that person will cut your throat again? So what do? You just treat him nice or her nice and keep out of their way. What else can you do? And you pray for them, wish them well. And if you can do them good, do them good. You'd be surprised the number of people I've handed bucks to and everything else is just too happy to cut my throat. What's the difference? You never cut my throat, never cut your throat. You can afford to be nice. No matter how sticky people are, you can afford to have this brotherly kindness. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that Sister Shepherd and Brother Shepherd always had people coming into their homes, turning nobody away, manifesting a kindness, a consideration. what else could I say? A respect. That's the word that I want. I know particularly a couple of men that came to Brother Shepherd and nobody would associate with him. He took them into his home. He fed them. He made over them. He loved them. He gave them every kind consideration, he and his wife and family, that the Scripture wants to give. And then one day those two men decided they could take the brother over. So they began preaching those things that Brother Shepherd knew were not included in the vindicated message. They were thoughts that these men had. Ideas of grandeur. Ideas which would puff them up and want them to take control over people's lives. Now remember the little story that Brother Branham told about the congregation of preachers. They all sat with their congregations and all, and there was a young fellow, he was all very high and mighty, that he was going to really put the cap on the climax, and he came up there proud as punch. He started to preach. He went, and he came down with his feathers all dragging. And the wise old preacher said, now, if he'd only gone up the way he came down, he'd come down the way he went up. So this man said to this one fellow who was trying to run things, and he's still doing it, he said, son, I'm standing here watching you go up, and I love you. I think those were his words. And I'll still be standing here with my hand out when you come down. That man was showing brotherly kindness 100%. Because he'd come into his, these men had come into his home, and now they're trying to betray him. When this man was one of Brother Branham's favorites. You'll hear him talk about Brother Shepherd. A real servant of God. Now, this is what we saw in this woman's home and the man's home. And this is what we are looking at the end time seventh age, which is brotherly kindness. And there's a stickiness. Okay. Do you agree with me that Alpha is Omega? You better, because that's the Bible. If you don't agree, it shows you don't even know the Scripture. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you know that everything comes full circle? Sure it does. From the principle of Alpha and Omega, I made a statement back in about 1981, I guess it was in Quincy. You can get the tape, you'll find it. That I said, according to the understanding that Brother Branham left us on the principle of Alpha and Omega, the Ephesian age must return us to us and become the virgin bride that Brother Branham said she would be, and this time not fall. What was her fall? Second Corinthians. You might not know it, but we'll look at it. And here's what the good beloved the Apostle Paul said concerning that church. And he said here, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, verse 2. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and they sure did, whom we have not preached, if you receive another spirit which you have not received, another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You hear him out, you know. Doesn't say have a thing to do with it. Now watch. Now he talks about these people that are going to come, and he says in verse 12, what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, wherein they glory, that they may be found even as we. He said, I'm not going to argue, I'll pray for them. Now watch. For such are false apostles, missionaries, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel, a messenger of light or the truth. But it was a lie. He quoted the truth and twisted it. Hath God said, if you eat this fruit, you'll die? Oh, yeah, that's what he said. Well, he said, you won't, though. No, you won't. He came with the word of God and perverted it. The same as they're saying he doesn't heal. Oh, no, we got the Bible, and therefore we don't need any proof. Ha! When Brother Branham said there were 800 different denominations, according to organization, he didn't miss it. That was okay for his day. But the last report I read, there was over 2,200. Three times the number. And everyone is purporting to go to a word which they claim to be from God. And we know this is the only vindicated book. So therefore it says, if Satan is transformed, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness. In other words, the correct revelation of the Word of God, so you can worship in spirit and in truth. Now you can have in print pretty soon my little message on righteousness and unrighteousness. I think I've preached it better in places, but you'll get the real substance. If you want to get it, print a few more than we're going to print. There. Whose end shall be according to their works. Now, what we're looking at here is the bride in that age, particular age, fell because she left the vindicated revelation. At the end time, it returns, as Brother Branham said. Just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to the Apostle Paul is here revealing it. And it was proven by the same vindication that Paul had, which we found in Romans and Thessalonians and almost every book that Paul wrote. You can see he claimed vindication. Listen, you can't come as a prophet of God without being vindicated before you ever open your mouth. Jesus both began to do and to teach. That's not simply saying, oh, people, before you even witness about Jesus, before you open your mouth, please live that Christian life. That's very good. That's very true, but that's not the Bible. That's a misinterpretation. That you're applying a secondary, a less meaningful, a less true and dynamic interpretation. The actual fact of the matter is Jesus couldn't open his mouth as a prophet until he came vindicated. Like Moses, he had the right to talk. All right, neither have you and I got the right to talk unless we're talking what the prophet said. That's what he said, say what I say. And when he said it, that's we're on safe ground because that's the truth. Okay, now, we're looking at that Ephesian age. Okay, They're the one with the true revelation and the true faith. Now, let's find out what the literal temper of that age was, in spite of the fact that history tells you, oh, how they loved each other. And the Bible also says they loved not their lives unto death. But I'm telling you, that's not what we're looking at. Let's really look at the scripture and find out exactly how those folk behaved back in those days. All right? We're going to go to the book of Galatians, the second chapter. Now, you just listen carefully because we're just going to blow maybe some things out of the water. All right. Now, Paul says here, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by revelation and communicated unto the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now the Hebrew bunch, Peter and John and all the rest, said, hey boys, circumcision is it. That's Abraham, and he's the father to all the nations. Every male child gets circumcised, Paul said. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Where do you think you're coming from? Now these men, as Brother Branham said, we ate with him, we fished with him, we slept with him, we did this, that, and him. We held his hand, he held our hand, he calmed the storm, he healed our sick, and we were there. And Paul, he said, hold it, hold it. I don't care if it wasn't there. I was born out of due season. Amen. Young whippersnapper coming along now. This bumptious pumpkin head that killed the saints. Hey, when he got smitten down that road, he got smitten down. It wasn't only his eyesight left him, his stupidity. The thing he called dung, false doctrine. Wrong revelation, wrong interpretation fled his mind, praise God. Now, but neither Titus, who was with him, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. They sure tried it. And they tried to compel it. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in. Hey, how discerning were these men? These apostles. I sit and think of one. Some of you looking for goody-goody two-shoes ain't no such animal. If you didn't have problems, you wouldn't need a Savior. If you didn't keep on having problems till you died and were resurrected, you wouldn't need a mediator and intercessor. You wouldn't need God. Be self-righteous like the Sanhedrin said, when God has problems and can't figure it, he calls on us. Pretty lousy thinking, if you ask me. Okay, because the false brethren unawares brought in, who came privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul wasn't worried about himself, worried about them. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepts no man's person. See, once you get a revelation, you say, phooey. Did I sink or swim? What are you trying to tell me? Not organization, Buck, now. I mean a literal vindication. You can't budge a guy like Brother Branham. Oh. No way. That's why Luther could stand there. Fifth age, church age messenger. Now, who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, and so on right down the line. Now it says here, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, and read his straw book, as Luther called it, but Luther was wrong, it wasn't a straw book, Luther just didn't understand. And you know why he had to call it a straw book? Because Luther brought the truth of justification without works. And he thought he had to pan James, who said, you show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Which is 100% correct. Otherwise, why have you got faith and virtue? Faith, then virtue. Faith, then power of God in works. Luther didn't really blow it. Hey, if you ever read his sermons, they'll blow you. You talk about absolute tremendous insight. Oh, Luther, boy, is still one of my favorites. I tell you, Spurgeon was good and all, but I love Luther. I know God loved him, so I'm in good company. He was to be blamed. And certain men came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. True bride always has a problem with her birds. And other Jews dissemble likewise with him, insomuch Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw thee walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not even our faith in him, but his own faith. God's, Jesus' faith in himself and in Almighty God, that he's going to see every one of us through. Now we're going to add works to it. Ha! Yeah. That's like you adding a shot of pure typhoid germs into a glass of distilled water and say, here, drink it. This is the real thing. Oh, brother, how wrong those men were. Now, I'm trying to show you something here. We'll get to it. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself the transgressor. Now, here these guys are in a bitter argument. And he takes the hide off of Peter and of James and the whole bunch of them. When he's finished it with his righteous declaration, their hides are full of buckshot. Ooh, brother Bill. And he says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the thing where we all go haywire. We're too interested in our own faith, which we receive from by revelation. We don't realize that's based upon his faith. You're never going to see yourself through. When you and I come to the place where we really rest in what I'm talking about, then the Spirit of God can begin to live and move in us. I deplore myself. I'm not fussing with you. God knows I would not fuss at you when I look at myself. There's no way I fuss at you. No, no way. I live by the faith, not in the Son of God, but the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. And if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, I'm going to take you back to the book of Acts, the 15th chapter. And in there we will see these things that I'm looking at. The 15th chapter, and we're verses 28 to 40 if we want to read the whole sphere. For it seemed good by the Holy Ghost unto us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now this is what the council decreed after Paul was stood in face to face. That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and things strangled and from fornication, from which you keep yourselves, you shall do well, farewell. You know, that's a pretty hot little commendation. You know, that is nothing alongside of Paul's epistles. They got a little puffed up and said, well, Paul, what we'll do, we'll sanction you and we'll be careful to tell everybody you're okay, bud. A man vindicated like Paul was? How many know he's vindicated? Honest to God, you know Paul was vindicated like William Branham of the prophets? You're still sitting there, you don't believe me. Are you afraid to raise your hands? I don't know if I can find it because my mind is lousy, but let's go back to Romans 15 and see if we can find it. Now, verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all around Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ based upon the fact I've been vindicated.
You still love me? Who cares? You know?
You got to get to the nitty gritty and see these things. Now listen, let's go further in the book of Acts. The same 15th chapter reading from. And Paul. Now watch. In verse 32, and Judas and Silas, which were being prophets themselves. Now not like Paul. These are fivefold ministry prophets. He said, if any man think himself to be spiritual or a prophet, let him admit. Let him testify right out that the things that I write are the commandments of God. Let him acknowledge it. Exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of God, with others also, many of those also. Now watch. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they do. You know, Brother Branham only went to a few places, notice? And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. In other words, this man was not trustworthy on one occasion. Now remember, this happens after Barnabas had already been carried away with the legal argument, the legalist argument, of Peter and John, or Peter and James, the apostles who stood there magnifying, I was with the Lord, yes, yes, yes. They better be circumcised. And Barnabas said, oh yeah, I think they'll be circumcised. Paul said, hold it! Sorry, Barnabas, you don't have a say. I've got it all. Oh, say, oh, just a minute. Now, just a minute! Isn't that exactly what Cora, Dathan, and Byron said, based upon gifts of the Holy Ghost? They said, just a minute there, Moses. We've got some gifts and we've got some anointing. We can put our little horn to this boat. We've got our 2 bits worth to say, yes, sir, we ate the manna, hallelujah. We crossed over, hallelujah. Oh, they went through the Red Sea. The Bible said they went through the cloud, all baptized unto Moses. Oh, yes, yes, yes. But when they got through baptized unto Moses, they turned on Moses. Because they had a little bit of anointing, a little gift or two. And Pentecost says, well, I've got the Holy Ghost because I spoke in tongues, hogwash. That is merely a gift of the Holy Ghost. Just like when a cow gives milk, the milk is not the cow. Oh, that was a good one. I always use the thought, you know, I give you my pen, that's not Levale, that's merely a gift from Levale. But when you get it down to the cow and the milk, that's another story. And at the same time, the cream is not the cow. But it comes from the life of the cow. As it transports that from chemistry into another product. It is full of chemicals. They're good chemicals, of course, in most instances. Oh yeah, they stood up. Now, what I want to show you here is this. Barnabas determined, he was of the mind, to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take with him, who departed from them, from Pamphylia. See, he left them. He just couldn't. He was a mama's boy is what the thought is here. And we're not with them into the work. Now, watch. And the contention was so sharp between them. Fish hooks on the elbow. Oh, Brother Bailey, you read it wrong. Well, you read it for me. What's contention? That means to contend against each other, fight against each other. Was so sharp. They departed asunder. Cut like a knife. This is it, bud. Out. I could tell you something there, but it's personal, so forget it. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and as the students say, nobody ever heard from Barnabas again. I want to show you the picture. In the first church age with the definitive revelation, there was what? Brotherly kindness. Now, Paul didn't hold it against Barnabas. He just says, enough is enough. We're finished. And I'm sure they prayed for each other. And I'm sure they had enough in the ball from Christ that they loved each other. Now, the one fellow said, you don't have to, the Bible doesn't say you have to like, it says you have to love. And that's true. Because love means respect. The basic of love is respect. You say, well, you've got your position, I respect it. I've got mine. That's why you should never try to take anybody over. Trail them down, find out things, everything else. You've got to watch what you're doing because it'll backfire. Brotherly kindness is a particular thing that it is tacky in the sense that it's like tacks, bishops on the elbow. So now what I'm showing you here is that, as Brother Branham said, Ephesus or the Ephesian church has come full circle. Now, continue to do acts of brotherly kindness. So if you do have your differences and you can't trust the person, be good to the person when the person is down and has a need. Send money. Send food. Pray. But you don't have to run over and gush all over them and say, you're my best pal and bosom buddy. Hallelujah. Because you'd just be lying. Hallelujah. We don't want to do that. Okay, let's go a little further. You with me? Still with me? Okay, let's go to 3 John. 3 John's very cute. Let's try verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. Now I said, here, now you're a bunch that really love the brothers, even strangers coming in. That's great. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Now this is one thing about this church that I really love. Because it's a good reflection on the whole assembly. People come from many places, different places in the world, and they say, Brother Vail, we've never seen the people like your people here. Now, I like that. They don't say, Brother Vail, you're good preaching, and you're this and you're that, because that's a bunch of hogwash. But I believe we have living word people in this church, and people testify. They say, Brother Vail, when it comes right down to it, and they tell me many nice things, and what they don't say, I tell them. So they have to know the nice things. I tell them how wonderful the girls can make these cakes. I say, hey, you should. It's too bad you weren't here when the girls really put the spread on. So, you know, if you're 90% girls, I made you 110%. Because that's what you are. When you're way above average, that's the way it is. And so you know how it is. And I know how it is. We talk about the church we have. We tell how the brethren here did great work in the building, how that one brother, one fellow is going to charge us about $24,000 to put all the electricity and all the wiring. And don't you know, Brother Faison came by, organized a crew, we got him about $2,400. We had some trouble one time, and Russ Evans discovered where the trouble was. Nobody else could do it. He did it. He doesn't need his engineer's degree. He's an engineer. All this hogwash. Oh, you know, it's okay to write paper and have a little bit of paper, but hey. I like the thought that him that can does. Put it together. Okay. All right, now. It says, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing to the of the Gentiles. That's Paul the apostle of these men. We therefore ought to receive such that we might have fellow helpers of the truth. Now watch. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now he's talking about a very church that he established. And this fella here, because maybe he had a little gift of tongues or something, rises up and he likes the preeminence. Now this is where the elders and the deacons have to watch their steps. Because the offices is what they desire, not what God desires. Because if you desire an office, I stand with Brother Branham, you never were called. So Brother Vail, why don't you quit? Because I did quit one time. And I went through living hell. And I'd sooner just get sick and die of cancer or anything else that attempt to quit again. But as for wanting it, I never did. But after so many years, you become like the old horse that dragged around the fire wagon. And every time the bell rang, he figured he had to get up and go, and they finally had to shoot him because he couldn't get up. Well, they shoot horses, don't they? Diotrephes loved the preeminence. Now watch. He kicked John out of his own pulpit. Now watch the lovely John. Now, brethren, everything goes. Even if I'm boiling the pot of oil, it's okay by me. I didn't say that, but I'm just putting that on to let you know that John was a sweet, mild, wonderful person. Now watch. Wherefore, when I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth. Watch the fishhooks. Prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. I've said many times to you folk, if you go, you go on your own. Nobody kicks you out. You came in on your own. You leave on your own. Nobody's going to ride herd on you. If it's not in here, who's going to try to put it there? I can't do it. Believe me, if I could, I'd go down and buy 1,000,000 pounds of saccharin, or 20 pounds of saccharin, you know, whatever it is, or equal, you know, aspartame. You name it. It doesn't work. And we are fish hooky. We have our edges, our sharpness. Now, then I'm bringing this out, not to fuss at anybody, because that's not the point. I'm here to show you what John was really like. What Paul was really like. What these folk were really like. Yet in the sight of God, they were absolutely 100% perfect, because the perfection was his. As Brother Branham said in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He said God demanded it, therefore God must provide a way for it. And he said, when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin, he said, until there be no evidence, how can you make that man a sinner? And perfect means a complete product. I will lose none. Oh, there's a perfect bride, brother, sister, and we're perfection through the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, so therefore the church has come full circle. All right. As Brother Branham said so beautifully, the original Catholic Church was a charismatic church. Positively was. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. The book of Romans tells you that in chapter 12, as it tells the First Corinthian church in their chapter 12. And he says in here, having gifts differing according to the grace which is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, and he that exhorteth, and so on and so on. It was a gifted church. It had tongues, it had interpretation, it had prophecy, it had it all. Then the Catholic Church embraced idolatry. And they're crying today because they embraced it. And they say, oh, what a mistake we made when we went into South America. We allowed them to join their idolatries and their religion with ours. Sure, the poor suckers had to do it. They poured molten lead down their gullets and everything else. And what was the fellow, the chief in the Carib Island? As they put him into the stake, he said to him, I forget who it was, a Pizarro, a pizza or something. I don't know, it was a Spanish guy, not Italian. Anyway, they burned him with a stake. And he said to the man burning the stake, he said, sir, do you mean to tell me that you are going to heaven and I am going to hell? He said, that's exactly right. And he said, I'll tell you what, sir, I would not go to heaven. I would sooner go to hell because you people are too cruel to associate with anybody. That's your Roman Catholic Church. But at one time they were the virtuous church. They've come full circle. Where are the gifts today in the Catholic Church? Neo-Pentecostals by the thousands and thousands. Pentecostals everywhere. People are speaking in tongues. They're gifted. And they cannot turn the truth down because it is there. And the Pope said, yes, this is the truth. And the Mormon Church said, yes, this is the truth. Now the Baptists are going to try to deny it, but they ain't nothing from nowhere. The mother harlot is ruling the roost. They've come full circle. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Larry King. Larry King lied 2 weeks ago in New York. I wish I could get the transcript. Maybe I can. He was entertaining Malachi Martin. The last two callers, of which the first I do not know who he was and where he was from, but he phoned in and he said, "Sir, is it not true that a prophet in Ireland by the name of Malachi, I think they might even pronounce it Malachi, I'm not sure, Malachi, you know, Irish, but Malachi, did he not prophesy there'd be 112 popes?" He said, "Yes, sir, before the Antichrist comes." "Is it not true that this pope is number 110? He said, "No, sir, it's not true. He's 111. When he hung up, little Tony Templeton, David Templeton's son, had called in just hoping he might be the one to get on. And Larry King said, "We have a call from Hendersonville, North Carolina. Put him on." So Tony said this. He said, "Sir, is it possible that there will be a pope coming out of America?" He said, "Yes, sir, we're grooming one now. It is Cardinal Wall of Boston." Malachi Martin is the shrewdest man in Catholic history and politics and knows what's going on as no other person knows what's going on. Chapter 13 of Revelation. Full circle. All the way through. We're not going any further. Well, I think I've covered this subject fairly well as to what I had in mind. How many minutes you got left? 20. Okay, I'm going to read you something. I've always been disgusted with Canada. I'm a Canadian by birth, and you can have it. You can have a lock, stock, and barrel, and I'll give you 50 cents to help you get across the line. Let me tell you why. When I was 16 years old, roughly a little younger than that, the Presbyterian and the Methodist churches got together and became the United Church of Canada, which fostered the CCF, which is the Christian Commonwealth Federation, which is communist. And the ministers, like Reverend Douglas, were the leaders. I have no truck and trade with their garbage. Brother Branham said, "No nation is as decadent as England." Canada is made up of Canadians and French. That ought to answer your question about Pagalali. All right, Toronto. The Ontario government must the Ontario government. That's OHIP. Must pay survivor pensions to partners of gay and lesbian civil servants under a leading-edge human rights decision Tuesday that could trigger similar changes across Canada. It already has in Saskatchewan. The same thing, even worse. The order will also have far-reaching effects on the private sector because the words of opposite sex when defining marital status have been removed from the Ontario Human Rights Code. So men can marry men. You ever talk about crap? I know no language to speak enough to comment on this filth. There's no one letter word, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, or anywhere, there's 65 letters in it. Rulings by the 3-member board of inquiry on the application of human rights code take effect immediately and are legally binding. But they can be appealed through the courts because a little thing in here and there, so you might show up to give them a little added this or that. Protection under the human rights code for gays and lesbians in Ontario extends to protect the relationship as well as individuals who are gay or lesbian, Trizzi said. An exuberant and emotional Michael Leshner, 44, the Crown lawyer who initiated the case in 1988, heralded the victory as recognition for homosexuals that is long overdue. Now I ask you, who's running the government? Oh, you say, Brother Dale, those people aren't strong enough to vote in the government. They don't have to be strong enough to vote in, they just have a lobby. America itself has voted 1.7
$1.78 billion for AIDS this year. Cancer, which has many more victims, was not voted anywhere near that amount. Nothing else was. And so they're saying, America, you take care of us while we do these filthy things which come from filthy sex acts. And they tell the kids, here's condoms, go ahead, enjoy yourself. I'm hard-hearted. Don't come near me. If you go out there and indulge yourself in premarital sex, you think you can get away with it. Don't talk to me. I fought my battles as a kid. I kept myself pure by the power of God. Smart enough. You're nothing special that you think you can get away with anything. Filth. They ran the government the day of Lot, and the days of Lot are here. Brother Branham, just before he died, made the one comment. He said, in 1 year, homosexuality has risen 30% in the state of California. What do you think it is now? Under the ruling, Leshner's lived in partner for the past decade. Michael Stark, 34, will be entitled to pension benefits. Leshner was also awarded $3,000 in general damages. You mean he couldn't sleep and didn't enjoy it or something? What happened? You talk about filth. Canada's no different from the States. They got the same filth here. And who sat there like a great big blimp the time that Donna Meyer and these guys were on TV? I think I showed somebody the film. I know somebody's got it now. I don't know who's got it. That Catholic priest Boyd down there, Father Boyd in Cincinnati, he wouldn't open his mouth and say one thing. He sat there like a blimp. Why? How come 8 priests at one time in Boston found to be addicted with AIDS? How many in Dayton around here? I could name you one right now, but I would never do that. The Catholic Church drove them to it. Those men had every right to marry. The Bible predicted, the very book they say they believe, and the very book they claim they wrote, said, don't you deny it. Because man was made for woman, and woman made for the man. Now where has it gone to? Oh, God only knows. A spokesman for the Ontario Chamber of Commerce said it was too early to comment on how the private sector would respond to the ruling. It doesn't matter what they say. Ever since Brandeis, that Jew, said it is not up to the Supreme Court to merely adjudicate, it is up to us to legislate. It has always been the same story, and it's the same in Canada. These men have no right to legislate, but they're doing it. You think you've got rights? Let me tell you, you've got right to die, brother, sister. That's all you've got now. Unless the rapture's right around the corner and you're truly born again bride. And I'd hate maybe to be having the kind of death that's going to be here, that's going to be around here. Because they say AIDS will not be air blown. That's a bunch of hogwash. Because let a person with AIDS sneeze that's got TB and you can get it. Let him breathe in your face, you can get it. Accidentally on your plate, you can get it. And don't worry, it's well-related AIDS. There's something else to show up with it. Now they're finding out they really believe that AIDS is nothing but a runaway from syphilis. And it's well known that no doctor has ever had any power over any bacteria or any virus. They don't know what to do with it. And the HIV, now they find they can't even find it. It's there somewhere, don't worry. But they got all the symptoms. My brother, sister, does it matter if there's food out here in front of you and you can't see it, so you can't get it, you're dying of starvation? In other words, I'm telling you, hey, what evidence do you need? What do you need? If you're dying, you're dying. If you've got the symptoms, what's the difference? That's the way they had to do with hypoglycemia. They said, hey, look, if you've got the symptoms, then that's enough. You've got the hypoglycemia. Doctors still don't agree on the hypoglycemia test. They're still confused on these many. Well, anyway, that's another point. Let's go on here. Mark Hart, the commission counsel who worked on the case, said it's the first time relationship between gays and heterosexual couples have equal status and worth under the Code and Charter of Rights. This is really the first case that has gone forward to squarely confront that issue. He said, this is leading edge. Oh my, this is wonderful. Oh, this is wonderful. Yuck. You ever seen some of these female athletes? Oh, God.
These women with their hair all cropped off. I saw one the other day. Her hair was cropped like a man, and she had about 3 feet hanging down like these stupid boys with their goofy haircuts. If anybody here, you got a kid with a goofy haircut, listen, for God's sake, please don't bring him in church when I'm here. Bob likes it, it's okay. But please don't insult me. If you can't control him, you're out of control. Say, Brother Bill, don't Brother Bill me. I've got a contract on this building. You can squirm and do all you want. Get 1,500 lawyers. Ain't going to do one thing. This was built for the ministry that goes out of here. I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling, but you got to understand law's law. And grace is grace. I ain't giving nobody any grace. I got the law. Oh, yeah, you got grace. All right. If I didn't love you, you wouldn't be here any either. I'd be someplace else. Brother Branham said I could. I believe him. He said, Lee, you're like me. He said, any place is any place home for you. For a while, I didn't tell him that, but I prefer the upper crust. If the crust is on the earth, I don't like that. I want to be upper. Okay, beginning last year, the Ontario government extended health and dental insurance coverage to the same-sex partners and employees. Hey, you don't even get that here yet. At the same time, it was said provisions of the Federal Income Tax Act prevented a similar extension of survivor benefits under the pension plan. They'll get it now. But the board inquiry found that the province had been laggard in pursuing the federal government to change that. At Port Stanton, Ontario, where he's attending a cabinet retreat, Attorney General Howard Hampton. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Attorney General Howard Hampton. Said he agreed with the Board of Inquiry decision. I wonder if he's heterosexual or bisexual. Like Malcolm Forbes. No wonder Liz is wondering about AIDS. He also noted that, I'm not being snide, that's the truth. It's in every paper. It's not some sin that's done in secret anymore. It's done in the open. If it was something secret, I'd be forbidden by the Bible to talk about it. When it's open, it says, rebuke before all that all may fear. I know my Bible. Don't worry. At least in the right spots. Yeah. I read enough times. He noticed the board gives the province 3 years to persuade the federal government to amend the Income Tax Act. If the federal government refuses to change the legislation, ultimately Ontario will be required by this decision to put up a separate scheme. See? In other words, he tells the provinces, hey, look, if you want to just feel good about fighting us, or not fighting us, this or that, or we fight you, it's all right, you'll win anyway. See, it's a thing that's already worked out. For as he said, the ruling is important for Canada. We will be taking immediate steps to communicate the decision of our colleague human rights commission across the country. They've been waiting eagerly for some case law in this area. Oh, my, isn't that? I just can't wait. The state says the same thing. Hey, I'm not. For the homeless to get something. Read your Bibles, kid. Read your Bibles. So I believe that's God. Just a minute. Just a minute. What do you believe? What God you talking about? You say, Brother Vail, I really don't know God anymore. I don't either. But I say, I'm just like Eliezer. Oh, God, I'm a master of Abraham. I'm like Elijah. Where's the Lord God of Elijah? I believe in the Lord God of William Branham. You believe anything you want. And he's the one that's in this Bible here, and his name is Jehovah. He's Elohim. He's the great Melchizedek. I got no problem. These guys want to give me problems. They want to make me like them. Oh, brother. Could you imagine? For as he also said, the province will have to examine the case closely as it relates to other legislation. Particularly 79 statute that the Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights in Ontario has been urging the government to change. Oh yeah, they're going to have their way. The Coalition wants terms like family and spouse redefined in the law that regulates everything from adoption and custody of children to who qualifies to get into amusement parks on a family membership ticket. This is my way. You know, this is exactly like the joke of the old farmer when he saw the beagles. He said, ooh, my heavens, I've never seen such ugly women in my life. It's the same thing. The guy standing with his hair like, and they're lovers. Oh, merciful heaven. Oh, brother, sister. Got any time left? All gone? Who knows? Listen. Oh, let me try to read you something here. Here it says, I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. As a lily among thorns, so my love among the daughters. Among the daughters. Oh, they changed. Among love, my love among the men. Song of Solomon. As the apple tree among the trees was, so is my beloved among the sons. So is my girlfriend, she says, now among the women. She answers back, I sat down under her shadow with great delight, and her fruit was sweet to my taste. She brought me to the banqueting house, and her banner over me is love. Stain me with flagons, cover me with apples, I'm sick of love. Her left hand is under my head, her right hand doth embrace me. This is known as the filthy book of the Bible. This is pornography. According to skunk balls that run the world. According to the filth out there. You guys, we've got to put up with it for a while. We're getting out of here pretty soon. I charge you. Oh, your daughter's Jerusalem, so on, you know. I hear the voice of my beloved with a high soprano voice. She comes with me. She's skiing and playing tennis. I'm going to flutter. Well, they asked for it. The guy that can do this up brown, though, is Rush Limbaugh. I should send it to him. Spokesman Tom Warner applauded the historic decision of the Leshner case. Oh, rat, rat. But he said the joy is tempered by the knowledge that Michael is not alone in being the victim of homophilia. Yeah, what do you call it? The homophobia that pervades federal and provincial laws. My heart cries for the poor man. Then they wonder why God vomits at the end time. That's the way it is, brother, sister. You say what you want. That's the way it's already, the die is cast. There's nothing you can do about it. You put anybody in who wants to change the laws, they'll not change it. Because the Supreme Courts have already said, we are not going to adjudicate, we are going to legislate. That's why no decision ever made by the Supreme Court will ever stand, because every case is tried as though it had not happened before. There's no precedent, there's no nothing, there's no God, there's no prayer, there's no this, there's no that. Wait till the fire falls, you'll find out. Just wait till they realize that the Jews that they hate have got only the paper, but the Catholic Church has got the gold. And Pope 112 is up there in Boston. I got one last thought. What is Boston known for? The Irish Catholic. The Kennedys. The Fitzgeralds. The McCormicks. And wasn't William Branham from a Roman Catholic Irish family? Runs in parallel, doesn't it? Saint of God? Yep. Like Saint Patrick wasn't a Catholic, he was Protestant. Protested the Catholic Church. Hey, he got rid of the snakes. Now you got this coming out of Boston. Well, brother, sister, I would lament and feel very sorry and pray this morning a very lamentable type of prayer with crying and weeping before God. Oh, God, do something for us. I can only rejoice He's already done everything for us. Because if God Himself came down to His beleaguered Son who had sinned in the garden to rescue Him and His wife by the precious blood, so that same one came down here to open the seal surrounded by those angels giving the message of the prophet, vindicated. We are liberated. We don't need a law, man. We obey those laws that are righteous and just that God put there. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from all that stuff. And I have no truck and trade with their sin. As Martin Luther cried, and he was inspired as no man I've ever heard was inspired, free at last, free at last. He took the cry of his people from the mountaintop. And I say we have had our mountaintop. That man knew nothing about. Nor anyone will know about. So they come under the voice of a vindicated word. There's only one voice that I know, and that's the voice of God that came forth in the man William Branham, vindicated 100%. That's the way I believe it. That's the way I'm going to stand with it. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning that you helped us and kept us this far by your great mercy, Lord, and showing these great things from the Scripture that are for our benefit. As Brother Branham said, spiritual food in due season, the sustenance and nourishment that we have, as Moses said, we have to have it in the promised land. Where we see beyond that, then a form of sanctification we know not of for 1,000 years, and then going on to that great city where the tree of life is with the leaves for the healing nation, a further wonderful process. Lord, I don't understand it. I'm not going to probe it, but I receive it with all of my heart and thank you, knowing that there is the depth of the wisdom and the love and the power of God manifested for us. And Lord, we thank you. You gave us a little taste in this very hour. And we appreciate it, Lord, that we've tasted the heavenly good, the gifts and the power of the world to come. Lord, we are a part of it by the grace of God. And we'll not stand back for live, die, sink, or swim. This is all we claim. And as old Spurgeon one time said so beautifully concerning prayer for the sick, he said, it's my job to believe God for the impossible and leave the results up to him. And we stand the same way, Lord, for that which healing only signifies and makes a type of, which is the great antitype, the resurrection. Lord, we are resurrection, as Brother Branham said. We are Easter because he said so. And we take our full hope in this magnified, marvelous word of God, the former rain and the time of the latter rain, vindicated. And unto the King eternal, Almighty God, be all power and honor and glory, hopefully through these lives, somehow in these vessels of clay. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. I believe this morning there isn't a soul here that couldn't be healed. You that are sick this morning, just believe with me at this time. Heavenly Father, we're praying for sick. We're not asking for people to come forward. But I believe, God, that people are being healed at this very moment. Not that they hear my voice and I say it, but Lord, I believe within my heart there's something moving within, Lord, moving, moving, because it was the prophet who kept on praying for the sick, even though the word was vindicated. Out of the word comes healing, O God, and we believe that healing is for the people. We thank you, Lord, for that measure now at this time that heals us and lifts it above it. We had been trying this and that, as the prophet said, when I go to a doctor, he can't do it. I go to the higher authority. This morning, Lord, some of us go to the high authority, which is you yourself, O living God, who said, I am your healer. Taking our healing, Lord, our soul, our minds, right into our body. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus.